Me.
What's good, what's good, what's good, Zimbabwe Mushe, Genome Gamshiram Chongwachevichevichiki. Welcome to the Connection Studio 7's very own youth program, the target tackling anything and everything youth related. Lingali Chonanjani, Chagaza Mushe, Kwazwai, Muri Zimbabwe. Once again, welcome to the Connection Studio 7's very own youth program, the target tackling anything and everything youth related. Unfortunately, Muri Zimbabwe, we're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. Due to COVID-19, we are having to work from home. That means we cannot give you this program as per usual, whereby you guys phone in. Nonetheless, Tiripano, we are here on the Connection Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. This program is coming to you from our Voice of America on Tuesday, the 25th of August 2020. Once again, Muri Zimbabwe, I'm your host, Mike Wolvet. Muri Zimbabwe kune munhu wese ari kupinda muchirongwa chinotenda zvikurusa nekupinda muchirongwa chedu chevechidiki chirongwa The Connection. Muineni Michael Hove, mutsvakazo muhle, siyabonga wonke muntu osandungena kuhlelo lwetu, uhlelo The Connection. Tine urongwa Muri Zimbabwe nepamusana pechirwere checoronavirus. We are having to broadcast chirongwa ichi hachisi live. We're broadcasting tiri kudzimba dzedu. Zvisei tiri pano pachirongwa chedu chevechidiki chirongwa The Connection. Muineni Michael Hove. Tonight on The Connection, we focus on COVID-19. We continue the discussion on coronavirus. Joining us is going to be Dr. Tinotela Simemeza, who's going to help us tackle these rise in COVID cases in Zimbabwe. But we also look to touch on another discussion. As usual, I'm sure you always remember, we like to touch on several different issues that affect Zimbabwean youth. So, another thing we're going to be touching on, here on The Connection, we're going to be touching on the opening of schools. Last week, we heard the Minister of Information, Honorable Monica Mchangwa, announcing in a post-cabinet briefing that schools are going to be opening in November to accommodate for those that have to write their November examinations. Now, this announcement was also followed by another big announcement by the World Health Organization that released a statement urging African governments to all open schools. And now we're going to delve a little more deeper into that as to whether or not it's feasible, whether or not it's practical, whether it's not, it's safe for African governments, including Zimbabwe, to open up schools. That's another conversation that we're going to tackle later. First up, health. According to Johns Hopkins University, over 23,670,000 people have contracted COVID-19 worldwide. I repeat, 23,670,000 people have contracted COVID-19. Over 313,000 people have died. And a good thing, a beautiful thing, over 15,300,000 have recovered from COVID-19. Now, according to the most recent tweet, and once again, as usual, everybody that's going to be watching the broadcast, you'll be able to see the information on the screen. The most recent tweet issued by the Ministry of Health, Zimbabwe currently has over 6,000 cases. I repeat, over 6,000 positive cases in Zimbabwe, 155 deaths. But now another positive thing, over 4,900 recoveries. So the gap between the people that contract coronavirus and the people that are recovering is closing. Now, the latest information released by the Ministry of Health does not show the cumulative tests that have been done to date. However, they highlight that 770 PCR tests were conducted yesterday. But now, Muri Zimbabwe, before we delve deeper on the discussion of COVID-19 with Dr. Tinotela Simemeza, let us head over to Dr. Marvin Venge. Dr. Marvin Venge works with the Ministry of Health. This is a clip that we extracted off the YouTube page of the Ministry of Health, whereby Dr. Marvin Venge breaks down the profile of COVID-19 cases COVID-19 patients in Zimbabwe. Let's head over to Dr. Martin Yenge.
So, as we all know, COVID-19 presents as someone who has flu-like symptoms, which can be a cough, a nasal discharge, shortness of breath, and you also have a fever. So, we have three categories. We're going to have the mild cases, the moderate cases, and the severe cases. So the majority of patients, about 80%, will be asymptomatic or will have mild symptoms. These patients are able to self-isolate at home if the facilities permit, or they can go to isolation centers. Then the other 20% that is moderate to severe disease, and those that have comorbidities, that include your hypertension, your diabetes, obesity, chronic lung disease, kidney disease, those that have cancers, you then need to be monitored more closely, and you are usually categorized as moderate to severe disease, and you should seek healthcare advice. When one has had a positive DNA PCR, which is our diagnostic tool, then you then need to self-isolate and be managed by your doctors if you are in the severe form or the moderate form. If you are mild or asymptomatic, you then need to stay at home or self-isolate. So initially, when COVID hit us hard, for de-isolation or for someone to be considered as recovered, we used to say that you would need to have two DNA PCRs done at least 24 hours apart. So if you have one done on a Tuesday, then you skip 24 hours, then you have another DNA PCR done. If that comes out negative, then you are considered as recovered. But the current WHO guidelines that we are now using actually have sort of relaxed a bit or done away with the exit DNA PCR. So if someone is asymptomatic and has a positive DNA PCR, this asymptomatic person should self-isolate for 10 days. After the 10 days, they are then considered recovered, and there is no need for them to have a repeat DNA PCR.
All right there, Muriel Zimbabwe, you just heard there from Dr. Marvin Renge. He was highlighting the profile of COVID patients in Zimbabwe. He was touching on the difference between asymptomatic and symptomatic cases. He was also highlighting the new regulations that have been set up by the World Health Organization that are in relation to testing and retesting for COVID-19. But now, what does it all mean? 6,000 people have tested positive for coronavirus. Almost 5,000 people have recovered from COVID-19, 155 dead. Is this good? Is this bad? Let us head over to an interview with Dr. Chinotenda Simemeza, who highlights what all this information means, and he also breaks down whether or not Zimbabwe is ready to reopen schools.
Well, there. That's a positive thing. So it just means that, as you said, about 6,000 have contracted the virus. Mm-hmm. But 4,000 out of those 6,000 have actually recovered, and the remaining are either still recovering or deteriorating or whatever. But it means that 4,000 out of the 6,000 have actually recovered, because these are people that have been seen to be positive, that have tested positive and are being monitored, and then people then see that they are recovering. So it's a positive when the gap between the incidence and also the recovery is closing up. It means that a lot of people are recovering from the virus.
Now, can this be an interpretation of how Zimbabwe is managing COVID? Does this mean that we're doing well?
It's basically an interpretation of the cycle of COVID itself. That okay. Most people actually recover. Just a slight percentage that actually succumb to the condition. So it's more of the way COVID works, that a lot of people recover. From the condition as compared to those that succumb to the condition.
Right, because so it's basically a reflection of what's happening worldwide, where more people have recovered from COVID than the people that are actually dying from But now, when we look at the number of people that are dying due to COVID in Zimbabwe, it's increasing. Is this the reason for people to be worried or more cautious? What does this mean?
Yeah, the number of deaths it's a reason to be more cautious, and also especially those who are vulnerable.
If you see, most of the deaths are people who are either vulnerable, who have comorbidities, and so forth. So it's always a reflection of how we are supposed to be more cautious in terms of not spreading the condition. Whether you are a young man like myself, who knows that you, I might probably not succumb to the condition, but we need to make sure we prevent them from contracting the virus. So, yeah, we always need to be more cautious when it comes to COVID. Yeah.
Now, let's delve into another hot issue that's happening COVID-related. Recently, we heard the World Health Organization announcing something that a lot of people didn't expect. They're urging African governments across the whole continent to open schools. This is happening during a time that COVID-related cases are actually increasing in the continent. As a medical practitioner, what is your take on that?
I think it's both good and bad. Mm-hmm. I say good in the sense that the way WHO was analyzing this situation is to say that children not going to school are now more exposed to other issues, right. Especially in particular mental health issues.
Right.
That the amount of domestic violence has increased, especially during lockdown. Teenage pregnancies have actually increased during lockdown. Rape cases have increased, and they're also saying also to those that get food from schools in certain countries, the malnutrition has actually increased because children are not going to school. So they're sort of like looking at it from a holistic perspective to say, are we putting the child at more danger by keeping him at home rather than keeping him in an environment whereby they interact with others and also grow and get to prevent these things from happening? So it's good in that regard. But as to say, like usual, it's always good on paper, but in terms of practicability, how do we then apply such that the children don't get to contract the condition at school? Because, you know, children, it's a high-contact environment.
Right.
And also, you can't really properly control children that are in an environment whereby they are together. So it's also to say, what if then they contract the condition? They might not succumb to it, but they go with it at home, and then the parents
succumb.
How then do we prevent that? So I think WHO is trying to look at a more holistic approach, but it would work best if what's written on paper is actually applied such that the safety measures are guaranteed at the schools. In which every school is different in every region.
Right.
So it has to be tailor-made for that particular region.
Now, if we zone into Zimbabwe itself as a nation, they're also doing something along the same lines. Last week, we heard Honorable Monica Mchangwa announcing in a post-cabinet briefing that schools are going to be opening in November, as per it did in June, to accommodate the examinations. But now, this has left some students up in arms, because when these schools opened in June, some people did contract COVID, hence why schools then quickly closed. What needs to happen in Zimbabwe to accommodate both in such a circumstance?
I think in Zimbabwe right now, we need to focus more on our testing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to focus more on our contact tracing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need to think about reopening schools.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to really work on how our COVID tests, the turnover of the results, which is not as good, and also contact tracing such that we are able to map the red zones and the green zones of the country, and then see how we can then make it to say which schools are supposed to open. Do they have the adequate safety measures hand? Such that people don't get to contract the condition. So it's it sounds good, but in terms of the practicability of it, is it? Are we at that stage whereby we are able to then say if someone contracts the virus at school, are we able to trace them at home? Are we able to test everyone at home? Are we able to then put up the safety measures that are needed for one to succumb to the condition. So I think we should focus more on the testing, the contact tracing, and the preventative measures, and then move on to open schools. So step by step approach. Although I'm sure the same reasons that WHO is highlighting is the same reason that the government wants to sort of tackle. But we are saying we should also consider our environment and see what's the best for our environment.
Now, if we look at the timeline between now and November, is that what you're recommending feasible?
It's feasible if the resources are gathered and we are able to manage. But as it stands now, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. Our systems are not yet as fluid as they're supposed to be.
All right, Tumbo Batanya in Rumirwa, my Dr. Smemeza, Church Peter, then to Batapeta, Rukredu. Takaona Masho, Kagabuditwa, Nesangano, World Health Organization, Wachukuru Zira, Rumende, Tose, Africa, Kutuwa Kure, Shkoro, Kutuwa Kwanawa, Tokere, Kushkoro, Asi, Zurukinsika, Kuru Zirawe, Irkuya Panguayo, a number, Yevan, Warubata, Chirore, Chekrona virus, Africa, Irkukuira. Se nyanji in munyazo utano munotambira sei mashoko esangano re World Health Organization.
Yes, noti zviri kutaurwa nesangano re World Health Organization zvaka zvine zvasvikanakira uyezve zvine zvasvikashatira. Zvasvikanakira vari kuona izvo kuti vana kuti vagare vari mudzimba vari kuwanikana nezvimwe zvisiri neCovid zviri kuita kuti ndaramo yavo isave nemazvo. Zvakafanira kuti macases evana vari kubatwa zvibharo awedzera, vana vasikana vari kubata pamuviri awedzera, uyezve domestic violence yawedzera. Uyezve kune dzimwe nzvimbo dzemuAfrica yekuti vana vanoenda kuchikoro ndokwavanopiwa chikafu. Vana vasiri kuwana chikafu ichocho vari kuita malnutrition. So zvine zvasvikanakira kuti sangano raona kuti vari kutarisa munhu sea complete person, kuti pasina zvekorona izvizvimwe humwe upenyu hwake huri nemazvo here. Saka zvakanakira kuti vari kuedza kuti zvimwe zviri kuwanikwa nevana mudzimba nenyaya yekuti havasi kuenda kuchikoro, havasi kuwana zvimwe zvinhu zvekuvaoccupya, zviri kuita kuti livelihood yevana ite se iderere. Saka ndo zvasvikanakira kuti zvinopreventa zvinhu zvakadai izvi. Asi izvo tiri kutiwo pane zvasvikashatira kuti masafety measures ari kutaurwa nesangano reWHO haasi nyore kuti timakwanise kumaita on the ground. Saka zvinokwanisa izvo kuzorereka nekumwe kuti iyo COVID yacho inokwanisa kutozopararira nyika yese nenyaya yekuti kuchengeta vana muzvikoro kunonetsa. Vana vanhu vanoda kutamba, vanoda kuinteract. Saka kuzocontrola that environment zvinozonetsa. Kuti mwana ainge aenda kuchikoro obva neCovid, obva anozadza vabereki, vabereki voshaya, zvipotangawo imwe cycle yenhamo yatisiri kuda kuti tiwanikwe nayo. Saka zvine zvasvikanakira, zvine zvasvikashatira, but isusu tinofanira kutarisa kuti on the ground munyika medu kana munharaunda medu tinozvifambisa sei. I think that's the most important thing that we should do. Kuti toona kuti nekurarama kwatirikuita neenvironment yatiri toita sei kuti tinatsoderera kuspreada kwezvirwere izvi.
Tichitarisa zvino zviri kuitika munyika, vhiki rapfuura takanzwa Honorable Monica Mutsvangwa mupost cabinet briefing vachiparira mashoko ekuti hurumende yave kugadzirira kuti vana vanyore bvunzo dzavo muna November. Izvi zvaitawo kuti vamwewo vacheme vachiti muna June pavakambovhura zvikoro kune vamwe vakabva vabatwa nechirwere checoronavirus, hurumende bvayamhanya bvayavhara zvikoro. Zvino vanhu vari kuchema kuti mavada kudzokorora zvekare muna November. Imi sevana mazvikokota muri kutambirawo sei, muri kuzviona sei zvese?
Tikona hurumende iri kungotsvayewo kutedzerawo zviri kutaurwa neWHO. kuti vaenderana nematemzi ari kutaurwa neWHO, but isusu tiri kuti tinofanira kutarisa kuti isusu taakukwanisa here. Kana tisiri kukwanisa, toona kuti zvii zvinamburo zvatinofanira kutora kuti tikwanise kuita that goal yekuti zvikoro zvivhurwe. Saka zvese zvakanyorwa papepa, masafety measures tinofanira kuamita kuzvikoro zvese zvati kuti tinofanira kuvhura, so that zvinhu zvacho zvinoita smooth, hazvizokonzeresa imwe bongo zvozvo nenyaya yekuspreada kwechirwere ichi. Saka tikuti on paper zvikutaurwa nehurumende zvakanaka, uyezve zvinhu zvatinokurudzira, but tinofanira kuona kuti mameasures atinofanira kutora tamatora, so that chirwere hachizopararira nenyika yese.
All right. Hold on for one second, Dr. Simemeza. Let me translate for our Ndebele audience, and then we will wrap up our conversation here. Lingali chona njani mtwagaza moshe Zimbabwe moshe wonko mundo ngena ukshelo. Ngiyakwamukela kushelo lwethu labasakhulayo okhulumayo ngoMike Bowe. Kushelo silo doctor tinothenda Simemeza ingcwethi kwezempilakahle ngodokotela eParinyathwa, esibhedlela seParinyathwa eHarare. Namhla kuhlelo sithinta phela udaba lwenani labantu abasebebanjwe nalo mkhuhlane we-COVID-19 lilokhu liqhubekela phambili lisanda elizweni. Sithinta njalo udaba lokuvulwa kwezikolo. Sizwile ngeviki edlule u-Honorable Monica Mtshangwa, u-Minister of Information, etshela phela uZulu ukuthi hhayi ngo-November imihloliso ama-examinations azaqhubekela phambili, kuzakwenzakala njengalokho okwayenzakala ngo-June. So kude ukuhlelo sibuzile phela udokotela Simemeza, sikhangela phela ukuthi okwayenza ukuthi izikolo zivale ekuqaliseni ngo-June. It's because umkhuhlane lo we-COVID ulokhe uqhubekela phambili umemetheka. So simbuzile ukuthi hayi dokotela, lokhu kuyinto enhle na? Ngombono wakho ubona ngani uhlelo lolu lakho ukuphumelela na? Udokotela Simemeza uthinte indaba ezintathu. Indaba yokuqala uthintile phela okumayelana ngamazwi akwethu akhishwe yinhlanganiso ye-World Health Organization besithi hayi bona bayakhuthaza amazwe all governments e-Africa ukuthi bavule izikolo. Uthi hayi indaba leyo there's good and there's bad. Into yokuqala ushilo ngempela ukuthi into enhle ukuthi abantwana besikolo babuyele ezikolo bayefunda, ngenxa yokuthi endlini kulesi sikhathi umhlaba wonke ulwisana ngalo mkhuhlane we-COVID-19. Kulezinto eziningi ezenzakala especially to abantwana, abafundi, abantu abasakhulayo. Abesifazana bayadlwengulwa, abesifazana bayahlutshwa. Indaba leyo domestic violence khanya ngani iqhubekela phambili yahlupha. So njengalokho okushiwo yinhlanganiso ye-World Health Organization, ubuyela esikolo kulakho ukutshintsha lokhu. Kodwa uthintile njalo udaba lolo esithi hayi there's another side which is bad and city. Nxa sikhangela phela inani labantu abasebebanjwe ngalo mkhuhlane lokhu liqhubekela phambili, it's increasing day by day. So uyakhuthaza all governments across the whole continent ukuthi hayi kumele bazame ngamandla abo wonke ukuqala inhlelo ezijiyeneyo ezijonge ukuvikela ukumemetheka komkhuhlane we-COVID-19. Siphinde sathintsha njalo udaba lokuthi yena ubona ngani uhulumende sokumele ayenzeni ukuze abantwana bengabanjwi ngalo mkhuhlane ngo-November. Hayi, uyakhuthaza ngempela uhulumende ukuthi azame ngamandla akhe onke ukuqala inhlelo ezijonge ukuvikela ukumemetheka kwalo mkhuhlane we-COVID-19. Now, Dr. Simemeza, as we wrap up our conversation, we've touched on several different things, but I would love to hear the advice that you would have for governments, for teachers who are fearing for their health, for students who are fearing for their health, and for parents who are fearing for their children's health. As government is preparing to open for schools in November, what advice would you have for all these stakeholders?
Okay, I think I will always go back to the basics to say prevention is better than cure. So if everyone plays their part, if the government plays their part, the parents play their part, if the children play their part towards preventing the transmission of the condition, it will go a long way in terms of ruining the cycle of COVID-19 and the spread of COVID-19. So we should always practice social distancing, should always practice being hygienic. We should always practice, if you have symptoms, you should self-quarantine and so forth. So as to help the next person so that they don't get to contract the condition. So I would say that each and everyone has to play their part. The government has to allocate the resources that are needed, that are required, so that the schools are run smoothly and we don't have cases of incidences of the condition at the schools. So everything needs to be set in place according to what has been the guidelines that have been researched and that have been put forth, so that we are able to run things smoothly. So I'll just advise everyone and every sector to play their part to prevent the spread of this condition.
Sandubonga uDokotela Thinothenda Simemeza ngokungena kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo uhlelo Three Connection. Thank you so much to Dr. Simemeza for joining us. Now, just as a recap, over 6,000 people have tested positive for COVID-19, 4,900 have recovered, and 155 have died. We're talking to Dr. Simemeza about whether or not this is a good thing. And of course, he was touching on the issue of a school's reopening. Dr. Simemeza, there is urgent government that if anything needs to happen before November, before schools open for these examinations, government needs to make sure that they have everything in place to ensure that COVID-19 does not spread in the country. Chongwa, the connection, my name is Michael Vovich, Nchenda Munwese, Apokopinam Chongwa. Once again, unfortunately, Muria Zimbabwe, we're not able to give you this program live as per usual. Nonetheless, for those that are looking to send their contact, their comments, please text us on WhatsApp on +1 202-465-0318. Indeed, that is a Jack signal there, partnering up with Roots Africa as they were kickstarting their campaign. This campaign is still running, raising awareness of COVID-19. 2019 is the number to call if you suspect that you may have coronavirus, if you're showing COVID-19 symptoms and you're looking to find out more info. 2019 is the number to call in Zimbabwe. So now, we're touching on the discussion around schools opening. You heard the sentiments echoed by Dr. Smetana Simemeza from a medical perspective. Now, earlier on, we highlighted that last week, Honorable Monica Mchangwa highlighted that schools are going to be opening in November to cater for those that are going to be writing their November examinations. They also highlighted that the same measures that were used in June are the same measures that are going to be used to cater for the November examinations. And when I talk about the measures, I mean preventative measures to ensure that coronavirus does not spread in the country. Now, let's head over to a file clip that we have of the ministry when they were talking about the measures that they were going to put in place in for the June exams, just to highlight the same measures that they say they're going to put in place for the November examinations. This footage that you're about to watch is courtesy of our Open Up Party on their Facebook page. You can watch the full clip on their Facebook page.
The ministry would like to assure the nation that necessary measures have been put in place to ensure that the safety of candidates and invigilators during the course of the examination is of paramount importance. To this end, the thermometers, disinfectant, face masks, wash facilities, and hand sanitizers have been procured for all examination centers to protect from COVID-19. Examination centers have also been disinfected in line with Ministry of Health and Child Care guidelines. I would like to extend my sincere gratitude to His Excellency President Edine Mnangagwa, Her Excellency the First Lady Amai Oxley Mnangagwa, the Interministerial Task Force on the Fight Against the COVID-19 pandemic, led by Honorable Vice President Casey Dinohari, the Minister of Health and Child Care, and all the other ministries for their guidance and assistance in getting the centers ready for examinations in line with the World Health Organization WHO guidelines. That's the end of the statement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. We now will move to the session where we'll be opening for interventions from colleagues from the media. So when we give you a chance, we would expect you to tell us, identify yourself and the media house you are representing here, and then to state your questions. I recognize your hand.
Thank you, Brian, ZFM. Question is there any plan in terms of transporting candidates to centers, seeing that there's already an acute shortage of transport in terms of mobility of people? Is there anything that is being done to ensure that candidates make it to the centers on time?
Yes, there are plans for that. Indeed, we are working with the Ministry of Transport. We also are working with the Ministry of Local Government with regard to ZUCO buses and combis for those children who may not be able to have their own transport. But yes, those plans are there, that we transport the children or the pupils to go to examination centers.
All right, well, with Mbabwe, you are here. There were measures that were put in place to cater for the June examinations. Government last week announced that they're going to be using the exact same measures to cater for the November examinations. But now, how do the teachers and the students feel about this? Let's head over to an interview that I had with the Secretary General of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Robson Chere, to hear more about how teachers are reacting to government's latest announcement saying that schools are going to open in November. And also we touch on the announcement by the World Health Organization whereby they were urging all governments to open schools as soon as possible, but ensuring that all measures, safety measures, are put in place to ensure that COVID-19 does not spread in the country. Let's head over to the interview that I had with Robson Chere.
Sevarairidzi panguva ino hurumende iri kutsikoronga zvimwe titori nenhau yatinayo yatikumanyisanawo nayo nhau yemari yemihoro nyaya yemari yemuhoro inova yakatsamwisa varairidzi zvikuru zvekuti panguva inoyi vati kunge vachikwanisa kunge vachimanyamanya nekuti tiri kuda kuti hurumende igadzirise nyaya dzemuhoro muhoro varairidzi vari kutambura vari kurarama nokunonga svosve nemuromo saka tingataurei zvekuvhurwa kwezvikoro asi nyaya yemari kana isina kugadziswa futi pachava nedambudziko kuti pamberi ipapa
danho rehurumende riri kutsigirwa nesangano reWorld Health Organization apo vari kurudzira hurumende dzose dzekuafrica kuti vavhure zvikoro asi vachitora matanho ekudzivirira kutekeshera kwechirwere checovid-19 sesangano rinomirira varayiridzi tipeiwo maondo renyu pamusoro pezvekurudziro yesangano reWorld Health Organization
kuvhurwa kwezvikoro sezvanamboreva zviye hakuna kuipa tinotodawo chaizvo kuti vana vange vachidzidza panguva ino
uye kuti nesuara dzinge tichidzidzisa nyangwe World Health Organization iri kuti ikudzira kuti zvikoro zvivhurwe asi iri kutaurayo kuti kuti zvikoro zvinge zvivhurwa kudaro iri kukurudzira kuti pange pane zvishandisiro zvese zvikwanisiro zvese zvine chekuita necovid kudzivirwa kwayo kunge zvinge zvivi zviri in place saka panguva imwe chete tinoti hurumende ikaisa zvikwanisiro zvese in place zvokwadi zvikoro zvinofanira kunge zvichivhurwa saka hatingangoti nekuti weodziroze hatingazvivhurwe asi zvikwanisiro zvisipo zvinovhurwa zvikoro saka nyaya yatakugatara kuti bishi bishi ngaiwepo vanhu ngavamanye manye hurumende yomanyamanya kuti zvikwanisiro zvinoita kuti kunge kuchidzivirirwa environment yacho inge iri safe kubva kucovid-19 zvinge zviripo zvikoro zvedu zvovhurwa vana vodzokera vofunda
takanzwa honorable Monica Mtsvangwa vachiti chirongwa chekuvhurwa kwezvikoro chichabatwa nenzira yakafanana nechirongwa chavakashandisa apo vadzidzi vakanyora bvunzo dzajune nemaonero enyu chirongwa chakashandiswa panguva yebvunzo dzajune chakanangana nekudzivirira kutekeshera kwecovid-19 muzvikoro chakashanda zvakanaka
chirongwa chakashanda pakanyorwa bvunzo chichava chinonetsa kuti chishande panguva yekuvhurwa kwezvikoro nekuti panguva yakanyorwa bvunzo dzemuna june vanonyora bvunzo dzemuna june vanga vari vashoma zvokuti chevazvo vakanyepa kuti zvakakwanisa zvinge zvichitika kuti panga pane social distance pane chii asi nguva inoyi panenge pakatooma nekuti gurumwandira rese ndopa rinouya pazvikoro zvedu zvagara nemahigh enrollment figures tichitarisa nezvikwanisiro zvinenge zviripo maresources saka kuti vange vachibuda vachinyepa kuti nyaya yesocial distance nenyaya yemapipi zvange zvikwanisika ichitaitaura nyaya yekuti muna june is less than 25% the whole population yevana vanenge vari muzvikoro but now takuti vana vese vanenge vadzoka muzvikoro toti chakwanisa kumaendeena tiine malimited resources inyaya ichange ichinetsa zvikuru
vachere sezvo hurumende yaburitsa shoko rekuti vari kuda kuvhura zvikoro pane zvamuri kuita sevarayiridzi kubatsira vadzidzi mukugadzirira bvudzo dzavo here
iri idanho riri kutorwa panguva inotinaunge taurirana zvakakwana uye tichionesana pamwe chete nehurumende kuti kuvhurwa kwezvikoro hakusi kunge kuchivhurwa maererano nekuti vana vanyore bvunzo chete asi kuti kuvhurwa kwezvikoro kunofanirwako kuwapo kuti vana vadzidze tine vana vari kuchange vachinyora bvunzo vana havanoda kuti vaone mukana wenguva yavakarasikirwa panguva yekunge zvikoro zvakavhurwa saka tikabva tati zvikoro zvivhurwe muna November kuti vana vanga vachinyora bvunzo muna November tine chikanganisa nekuti vana vanofanira kunge vachiwana nguva yekudzidza yekukabvira nguva yavakanga vakavhara zvikoro saka hurumende inofanira kunge ichipa ongorora ipapo uyezve nenyanhau yekuti tavapapi nenyaya yekuti zvikwanisiro zvinge zvakakwana muzvikoro zvikoro zvedu taitoda kuti zvinge zvakavhurwa kare asi yekuti zvikwanisiro zvanga hazvisati zvavepo hazvina kunge zvichavhurwa saka nguva inokuti ngazvivhurwe tisati taona kuti tavapapi aiwa zvikoro hazvingovhurwa kunzizi zvavhurwa tisina kunge tasvika matanho atanga takawirirana kuti ngaasvike uyezve zvikoro zvizhinji zvedu zvivhurwe toda kuti vana vaonewo mukana wokunge vachidzidza nguva yavakanga vachikabvira nekudzidzawo nguva yavakanga vasingadzidzi kuti vanenge vachipedza zvidzidzo zvese zvingave zviri musirabhasi yavo.
All right, what is Zimbabwe? You are hearing there from Robson Ochere of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. He himself is an educator. He was touching on several different issues in relation to government looking to reopen schools in November and, of course, the sentiments echoed by the World Health Organization. Now, he was saying that, number one, teachers demand that their payments issue be addressed. As we speak, teachers, a lot of government employees are not satisfied with how much they're currently receiving. They say their salaries are below a minimum wage in terms that their salaries can afford to cater for what a basic lifestyle is needed in Zimbabwe. Now, he also touches on the World Health Organization sentiment, saying that those are good, and as teachers, as students, they also want to go back to school. However, the Zimbabwean government has not put in place the accurate measures as per the requirements of the World Health Organization. He also highlights this, just because the World Health Organization says, let's go ahead and reopen schools, does not mean that you should reopen schools without meeting the requirements of the World Health Organization. Now, he also talks about the measures that were put in place by government in June earlier on. We played a clip that was explaining these measures. He says those measures are not enough to cater for the November examinations. Why? Because the crowd or the number of people that are going to be sitting for the number for the November examinations are going to be a lot more in comparison to those that set the June examinations. Now, just a little more about the sentiments echoed by the World Health Organization. I pulled up the article, and one of the things that they are highlighting is that the impact of extended education disruption is significant. And here they're not just focusing on Zimbabwe, but they're also focusing on the whole African continent. They talk about how the impact of education disruption could be, amongst them, poor nutrition, stress, increased exposure to violence and exploitation, childhood pregnancies, and the overall challenges and mental development of children due to reduced interaction related to school closures. So let's hear from one of the students that we managed to get a hold of, Jelani Shoko. He is the spokesperson of ZINASU, the Zimbabwe National Students Union. Let's hear what Jelani Shoko had to say about the sentiments echoed by World Health Organization and government's move to reopen schools.
Kubalulekile kakhulu ukuthi abafundi benelise ukuthi bekwanise ukubhala imihloliso yabo. Kodwa into enzima ukuthi abafundi becabangise ngakho ukuthi khona abazange bafunda baqede benelisa ukuqeda ama-syllabus abo. Njalo njengohulumende kumele uhulumende ephumele egcekeni ukuthi baza yenza njani. Bazakwanisa ukubhalisa njani imihloliso le njengoba abafundi abazange baqeda ama-syllabus. Njalo sizananzela ukuthi umkhuhlane we-COVID thina njengelizwe asikenelisi ukuthi sikwanise ukuwuvikela kumbe sikwanise ukuba esikhathini sokuthi sesenelisile ukuthi umkhuhlane lowo ungakwanisa ukwehla. So kuyinto uhulumende amele ekwanise ukuthi enze ama-consultation labafundi lawo wonke ama-stakeholders elizwe ukuthi isikolo zingenelisa yini ukuthi imihloliso ibhale. But ngombono wami ngibona ngani kuyinto engafanelanga ukuthi abafundi bebhale imihloliso ngoba ama-syllabus abo njengoba ngishilo abazange baqeda. Njalo ngizananzelela ukuthi vele nxa abantwana befunda ezikolo bona ngama-first term akula into eningi efundwayo. So njalo singathi abafundi bebhala imihloliso kuzaba nzima unless uhulumende na nxa eleyiminye imizamo. Kodwa uhulumende usekhulume ngokuvula kwezikolo kodwa kazange watsho ukuthi zizavula kumbe kuzalotshwa imihloliso leyi izalotshwa njani abafundi bengafundanga ngendlela abamele befunde ngayo.
Shoko, uhulumende uke wavula izikolo ukuze abafundi bathole ithuba lokubhala imihloliso yabo ngoJulayi. Ubona ngani uhulumende uphathe uhlelo lokuvula izikolo kahle na ngoJulayi? Njalo angaqhubekela phambili evula izikolo ngoNovemba, kumele ayenzeni ukuze umkhuhlane we-COVID-19 ungamemetheki ezikolo?
Sinazele ukuthi ukuvula kwazo izikolo kugcine sokwenzakala into eziningi ezingalunganga. Sibona ukuthi eChino University of Technology sigcine sisiwa labafundi bagcine sebetesta positive for i-COVID-19. Njalo nxa sibona konke lokhu kusenzakala, uhulumende yena nxa efuna ukuthi izikole zivule kumele ekwanise ukuthi yonke into efunakalayo ekuvikeleni u-COVID-19 izenelisa ukuthi ibe khona nxa ukuthi izikolo zizaqhubeka ngokuvulwa. NgoJulayi uke wazama ukuvula izikolo uhulumende, kodwa sibonile ukuthi ngenxa yokungoconsulti, ngenxa yokungalaleli ama-students union who have continuously warned i-government ukuthi akumelanga izikolo zivulwe nxa kungela yonke into evikela i-COVID-19 ukuthi ibe khona. So kungaba nzima kakhulu. We are sitting on a time bomb if we allow izikolo ukuthi zivulwe kungela yonke imfanela efunakala ukuvikela i-COVID-19.
Yini umbono wakho mayelana ngenkuthazo evela kunhlanganiso ye World Health Organization emayelana ngokukhuthaza amazwe wonke akuzwekazi le-Africa ukuthi bavule isikolo kulesikhathi umhlaba wonke usalwisana ngaleli gciwane?
I-World Health Organization ikhuluma ngokuthi abafundi bebuyele esikolo, ngumbono omuhle, kodwa sizananzelela ukuthi abafundi bengabuyela esikolo kungela ama minimum requirements ukuthi sikwazi ukuvikela umkhuhlane, kuzalimaza abafundi. Abafundi bonke bangakwanisa ukuphela nge-COVID, singaphela njenge-Africa jikelele, ngoba sabe sinanzelela ukuthi amazwe amaningi e-Africa they are not yet ready or they've been found wanting their health system, ngoba asikwanisi ukuthi siyenze njani sifikele umkhuhlane low. Our health system is in 6 and 7. So umbono omele esingathi ngesikhiwa umele uscrutinize ukuze sikwanise ukuthi we reach a consensus towards ukuthi isikolo zingavulwa yini. Singakwanisa ukuthi sikhangele ukuthi ama reasons abasinika wona, singakwanisa ukuthi are they enough or are they sufficient enough to what to allow us ukuthi sivule isikolo, ngoba singakwanisa ukuvula isikolo i-Africa yonke isiphela. Njalo umbono lowo umbono engingathi wona ngelinye inqeba uright, ngelinye inqeba awukho right.
Alright, Mori of Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Chingani Shoko of Zinasu. He's basically echoing the sentiments of Robson Achere, the Secretary General of Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe. Chingani is saying that as students, they feel as though they need more time to ensure that their students are more prepared to write these November examinations. And once again, they're urging government to make sure that if they are going to continue with the program with November as per usual, they must make sure that all the safety precautions are put in place. Let's head over to another student, Wanele Moyo, Wanele here focuses on some of the issues that they have faced throughout this period. Now, one thing that people are wondering is, how has Zimbabwean students been coping throughout this period? E-studies has still been going on, but there's been, but a lot of students have highlighted some of the concerns that they face, some of the challenges that they faced during this period, this lockdown period, whereby schools are closed. Let's head over to Wanele to hear more about the challenges that they're facing as students.
Lokhu sikhala labo abafundi abasemakhaya ukubana bazayihleka ukubana bathole i-internet kumbe ba-accesselwe e-learning portal. Aluba uhulumende ngawe abathengela ama-laptop abanikele izimali zokubana bangene ku-internet ukuze benelise ukwenza izifundo zabo. Manje ke uhulumende wakithi kakwenza konke lokhu, ngakho lokhu sikhala ukuthi pho kuza kwenziwa njani, akunjinjani. Kodwa ngakolunye uhlangothi siphinde sithi hayi sisiyavuma ukubana singene ku-lockdown lezi lama-college avalwe. Senzela ukubana sigcine impilo zethu. Kungcono ukugcina impilo yakho ngabe i-COVID-19 than ukuthi uqhubeke usiye esikolweni kumbe ugcine usufile ngayo i-COVID-19.
Mamoyo, njengoba ingcwethi kwezempilakahle zisithi umkhuhlane lo usakhona okwesikhatshana eside, ngombono wakho kuyini okumele kwenzakale ukuze abafundi bathole ithuba lokuqhuba izifundo zabo kahle?
Ukuze siqhubeke sifunda, ngabe uhulumende uyanika abafundi okuyi-cushioning fund kumbe allowance ezasivumela ukubana sithenge idatha sikwanise ukungena ku-e-learning, kuthi abasemakhaya baphiwe ama-laptop lama-tablet nama-iPad, baphinde baphiwe la i-cushioning fund kumbe allowance ezabenza bakwanise ukuthenga idatha once ba-purchase i-internet, bakwanise labo banye bafinyelele ku-e-learning. And then sibe si-assesswa time to time sikhangele ukuthi siqhuba njani. Siyafisa ukubana ngahulumende uyasenzela njalo njengamanye amazwe, ukuthi ngalathi uyasakela i-cushioning fund nge-allowance nje abafundi kwenze thi singane esifungezele lathi siqhubekele phambili siqede.
All right, Thokozo Mohle, Zimbabwe Mohle, you just heard there from Wanele Moyo. Students are at NUS University. Ubethinta ngempela, she was touching on the issue of e-learning, and she was saying that as a student, she sympathizes, especially with students who are from the rural areas of Zimbabwe, because they're facing the biggest challenge in terms of adapting to e-learning. That's where there's a lot of network challenges. One thing Wanele highlights is she says data is expensive in Zimbabwe, and so she's urging government to look into helping students by providing data and laptops so that they can access their e-learning studies, or other alternatives that would either help them access e-learning studies. But now, the issue of e-learning is not just something that's affecting young Zimbabweans. Even here in the United States of America, students are facing challenges with regards to having to adapt to e-learning during these COVID times. Let's head over to a report done by VOA correspondent Matt Dibble, who touches on how e-learning is affecting American students, so people have a broader perspective of e-learning and how it's working and how it's affecting our students worldwide. Let's head over to Matt for this.
It's a new school year in the U.S., where the pandemic has closed many campuses and forced classes to continue online. At Oakland Technical High School in Oakland, California, students line up for books, and for some, computer equipment, like laptops, to use at home.
We have one at home. It's just really hard because we're splitting it between three of us.
The Oakland School District estimates that half of its roughly 50,000 students lack the technology they need for remote learning, a crisis affecting schools across the country.
So this is Chromebook, the charger, not...
Nonprofit groups have joined forces with Oakland schools to bridge a digital divide that has persisted for decades.
Yeah, sometimes the internet does go a little slow because we're all on the computers.
The coalition is raising funds for equipment such as laptops, internet service, and tech support for every student in need.
I think the internet connections to the world through the internet are almost as important as food in this day and age. The pandemic forced us to rethink how we do things and get it right.
This mother has five children studying at home.
I went to the schools and collected the Chromebook for every child.
When nearby Emerson Elementary closed its classrooms in March, second grade teacher Peter LaMotta worried about losing contact with his students.
Oh, it's so good to see so many names and kids. I miss you guys.
He launched Storytime with Mr. LaMotta on Facebook Live, a platform he hoped more families would be able to access using cell phones. As the new school year begins, LaMotta fears that some students who have not turned up are still lacking what they need to connect.
It's the difference between you having school and you not, or the quality of school that you have. Because you have sometimes students come in where they might not participate in a conversation, because every time they turn on their video or just even to try and speak, there's big glitches because it's not strong enough.
It's hard to believe that in the U.S., about one in five kids are struggling with either lack of access to a device or to Wi-Fi. We know from surveys of teachers around the country, they're very concerned about the learning loss their kids have already had, and now they're staring down another year of this.
So here is the hotspot.
And so the scramble to give out technology, adding new urgency to closing a digital divide. For VOA News, Matt Dibble, Oakland, California.
All right, Maria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from our VOA correspondent, Matt Dibble, who's touching on how kids are affected by having to adapt to COVID here in the United States of America. One thing he highlights is one in five kids have access to the necessary requirements. And so this highlights that the issue of e-learning is not just something that's affecting young Zimbabweans, not just affecting people across the continent, but it's affecting young kids even here in the United States of America. Chirongwa D Connection, Mwineni Michael Hove, Moria Zimbabwe, Tarek Shrika, Kuma Bumo, Chirongwa Chelucha Nasi. We're getting to the tail end of our program today on D Connection. But now, before we wrap up, I want us to head over to another report that was done by VOA correspondent Columbus Mavunga. But this has nothing to do with schools. One of the issue that Columbus Mavunga tackles is the issue of food security. Now, if you remember correctly, the World Health Organization addresses one of that and highlights that this is one of the issues why they're urging children to go back to school. For those that do not know, some schools do provide food aid. Some schools do provide food for these students. And so that's one of the reasons as to why World Health Organization is urging African governments to reopen schools. So let's head over to an interview to a report done by VOA correspondent Columbus Magunga, who touches on some of these relief kitchens that have been set up in Zimbabwe that target towards helping people during the national lockdown, especially now that millions and millions of Zimbabweans, not just in the rural areas, but in urban areas too, are facing starvation, are facing hunger. Let's head over to Columbus Magunga.
This poor suburb of Seke, about 30 minutes southeast of Harare, has one of the highest number of cases of food insecurity, according to official statistics of people affected by the COVID-19 pandemic lockdown. After being unable to return to South Africa, where she's based when the lockdown started, this 35-year-old woman felt the hunger situation. She's now running a relief kitchen that daily provides two meals to those unable to feed themselves in the neighborhood which she grew up in.
I just want people to go to bed with a satiated tummy. That's all I want. I want, with a forecast in the future, I want people to gain self-sustenance. I want a population that says, in the event of a contagion or disaster, we can be able to pick ourselves up.
She started the project with her own food, then Welusha stepped in and now feeds about 3,000 daily. After the lockdown, she wants to train people to start income-generating projects. One of the beneficiaries is this 53-year-old and informal trader. He walks daily more than 30 minutes twice a day to get food to look after his three kids. He says he has been expecting government assistance.
What we actually saw was, you know, the activities, especially of the police, trying to stop us to go anywhere far from our homes and to stop us actually to do our trade as usual, you know, and yet to comply. But by complying, actually, we're actually doing bad for our families because it's like they're being depleted in terms of their provisions.
President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government says it is aware that informal traders who constitute the bulk of Zimbabwe's employment are being affected by the lockdown, which was imposed late March to contain the coronavirus pandemic.
So we are not short of money in terms of the support to the vulnerable Zimbabweans. In fact, at the moment, we are waiting to reach our target of 1 million people who are vulnerable who need to be registered, and we are appealing people to come forward and register with social welfare because we have the budget.
Some of those benefiting from the $3 a month government grant are depending on Samantha's relief kitchen. They say the grant cannot even buy enough cornmeal to make Zimbabwe's staple food, a thick porridge known as sadza or istwala, which is served with a relish. Columbus Magunga for VOA News, Harare.
VOA correspondent Columbus Magunga highlighting the hunger situation in Zimbabwe during the national lockdown. He spoke to a young Samantha Mrozoki, who's helping people in Budiriro. Now, Samantha's not the only one who's running a program that's helping. A lot of young people are stepping up in the forefront, and they are figuring out ways to help people during the national lockdown. Amongst them is someone that we spoke to 2 weeks ago, here on our youth program, Mr. Magama himself, Simon Magama, who's got a program under the organization called the Bug Movement. They're currently running a program right now that is targeted towards helping widows during the national lockdown. So you guys should check them out on our social media at The Plug Movement on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We have come to an end of our program. We're touching on whether or not Zimbabwean schools are ready to open for the November examination. Mure Zimbabwe, tashika kumagumo echirongwa chedu chanasi. Kana mshita uchipa maundre enyu, you can text us on WhatsApp. Munokwanisa uchitumira message pa WhatsApp pa number zinoti +1 202 465 0318. If you're looking to text us, you can text us on WhatsApp on +1 202 465 0318. My time is up here, folks. Let's meet at the same time, the same place, here on the Studio 7 of Voice of America. I go by the name of Mike Wobe. Mure Zimbabwe. Bye-bye.